is Vern Casper. Party Line was put on the air to give voice to problem solving in our community.
Talking local on WILO.
The Party Line Crew.
This is Party Line on WILO, at your side since 1960. This is your forum for public opinion and comment. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of WILO management, employees, or sponsors. Now let's join Party Line on WILO.
WILO 7 Party Line is presented by our friends at TC Trailers. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight. Encompass Credit Union, community-minded just like you. Marshan's Window Tinting in Antioch, they stick it where the sun shines. Vierk's Fine Jewelry in Lafayette. Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives. Big O Tires in Lebanon, big deals, save money now, and 24/7 at welovebigdeals.com. Freckles Graphics, Jim's Heating and Air Conditioning, and of course, Clinton, Carroll, and Boone County Daily News.com. Your free local online newspaper. You can also watch the telecast at HoosierlandTV.com, and that's brought to you by 51 West Event Center, the Farmers Bank, Culligan Water of Boone and Clinton County, Day and Ginda Funeral Home, Reinhardt Realtors, TC Trailers, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Sam I Am Carpet Cleaning, Shoops Country Foods, Big O Tires in Lebanon, Freckles Graphics, Arborwood by Shoops, Welty Exteriors, and Newell Gas. If you would like to call in this morning, 765-659-3338. We do appreciate all of our sponsors and ask that you, visit all of them. They're local, and we always encourage people to shop and buy local and do local business as a locally owned radio station as well. It's a Friday. Perhaps maybe that's the best news of all.
Yeah, you would have thought it was the 13th with the way my morning's been going, but hey.
Well, next week you'll get your chance.
Yeah, well, tomorrow, or yeah, maybe next week it'll be better.
Well, for some people, you know, Friday the 13th is a lucky day.
Yeah, could be. I don't know.
I had a niece born on Friday the 13th, and
that was
worked
lucky.
Out. Yeah, yeah, I thought that worked out all right.
Pretty much.
Anyway, we do have a lot of things going on this weekend, and then we're going to talk sports a little bit. I know Jamie's going to call in, and Sam's going to join us here in just a little bit. Our guest, by the way, today is Jordan Brewer, Clinton County Commissioner President, and he will be joining us at the top of the hour at 9 o'clock this morning. But in the meantime, there are several things happening here locally, and we thought we should share some of those things with you so you knew what all you could get out and be doing this weekend. And let's start with what's happening today in Michigan Town. BCS Boutique is having their Christmas open house and food market today and tomorrow. Open 10 to 5 both days. And, that, of course, that's right on the main drag in Michigan Town. The address is actually 211 Main Street, but Michigan Town is so small, you know, you drive through, you can't miss it.
Yeah, don't blink.
Yes. So that's at BCS Boutique. And, again, they have food vendors coming in. I know that she said there's someone with fresh meat coming in. Rules Honey will be there. Pies, yes. Brandon's Burgers.
Yeah, baked goods.
Baked sourdoughs. Goods. I was going to say, Amber's coming with the sourdough?
I think so.
Oh, man. Her yeah. Sourdough's great.
I don't know. There are so many that are going to be there. And
I've been buying her sourdough since we...
talked to her?
Since we had her on, yes. I go over to Forest on Saturday morning and get my sourdoughs, and that's become a thing now. They're fantastic. Anyway, she's got grave blankets, wreaths, pottery, greens, giftables, candles, roping, handcrafts, wood items, and furniture as well. Again, it's BCS Boutique. Their open house, Christmas open house and food market starts today, and it is today and tomorrow. Also, I want to remind everybody that the Christmas toy drive is going on, accepting new, unwrapped toys and monetary donations through, oh no, it was yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah. Yesterday was the last day on that one.
Oh, shoot.
They might still.
If you took it over there, which would be, by the way, Trinity Hope Center, Healthy Communities, or NHK, they're not going to turn it away.
No.
But that is the reminder that that's it. I mean, we're getting to that point where it's, can you believe?
We're getting there, yeah.
I know that December, of course, the summer months always go so quickly as well, but boy, you get to like middle of November to January, and that's like super fast as well. Also,
go ahead.
We will be broadcasting live tomorrow on HoosierlandTV.com. You can watch the Christmas Parade, Gingerbread Kisses, and Christmas Wishes. It starts at 3 o'clock right on the square in downtown Frankfort. If you would like more information, you can go to frankfortmainstreet.org, or you can give them a call at 654-4081. And again, the parade starts at 3 o'clock tomorrow on the square in downtown Frankfort, and you can watch that live, and then it will be archived. So if you have somebody in the parade or you're there watching it but want to go back and watch it again, you can do that at HoosierlandTV.com. So that's tomorrow. And because that's happening tomorrow, there are a lot of other things going on downtown tomorrow as well, including Cookies and Cocoa with Santa. Now, it starts at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. It runs until noon, and this is with our friends at Little Miss Cupcakes. And it is $25. They are asking you to pre-register, but it is not required. However, if you do pre-register, you get a 10% in-store discount that day. So they're having a lot of things. You get a photograph, a professional photo with Santa, a cookie from the North Pole, a cup of hot cocoa at their DIY cocoa bar. And just a side note that Santa is bilingual. So if you might want to keep that in mind as well. So I think that's cool. And again, that's tomorrow, 9 o'clock until 2 at Little Miss Cupcakes. And you can, again, pre-register, get you an extra 10% off. And that's at 210 North Jackson Street in Frankfort, kind of right across from Hawker Title there. They kind of on the same street there.
Yep, exactly.
Also tomorrow, this is with the Design Hub, which is on the north side of the square in downtown Frankfort. They're having a Christmas store special from 10 o'clock until 3. Holiday hair tinsel, cocoa, and coffee bar. And I didn't know what the holiday hair tinsel was, so I had to look. It's where they put those cute little tinsel things in your hair. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's should be fun. And that part of it is from 11 o'clock until 2. The tinsel and cocoa bar is just from 11 to 2. But the store is open 10 to 3 tomorrow. And again, this is a fundraiser. Funds raised and 10% of store sales tomorrow will be donated to Mabel's Journey. And this is for a diabetic alert dog. And so they're still trying to raise funds for that and also having a holiday open house as well. So combining the two tomorrow to make it a fundraiser. Then from Delphi, you want to tell them about that one, Mel?
Delphi? You mean, I don't know. I don't have.
That's
I don't
the one have you have right there.
This one? Okay, mm-hmm. Christmas Now. Christmas at the Canal is going on in Delphi. Starts at 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. December 7th. They've got a bazaar going on. They've got photos with Santa, live music, Pioneer Village, artisans, food. There's going to be all kinds of the case house tours, interactive museum. It's just a good time to go up there. And, you know, you can go there. You can see Santa. You can get you some munchies and do a little shopping. And then you can trot your way down to Burlington for the Christmas Walk, which is going to be going on from 4 to 7:30. That's in the evening. And there'll also be food. There'll be Santa, mm-hmm. vendors' booths. There's going to be wagon rides, s'more station, kids' games, a place where you can make out Christmas cards for the troops, and free family photos, too, as well, while you're there. So a lot of things going on. You can come and visit me. I'll be there at Burlington. So a lot going on there.
They've been doing that for a long time, too. They kind of have it down. So
yeah,
it's always a great event.
It is. It's a lot of fun.
Today is Friday, December 6th. Today is St. Nicholas Day, recognizing the 3rd century saint who became the inspiration for Santa Claus. Legend has it he made gold appear in the shoes of three poor sisters. They left their shoes to dry by the fire, which is how, of course, he became a saint, and why we have the tradition of stuffing stockings. Today is also National Microwave Oven Day. Can you imagine our lives now without a microwave compared to how it used to be back in the day? Where they had an old stove that you had to start the fire in, no less, just to get something.
I remember when the first ones came out while I was in high school.
I remember that, too. I remember when my grandma got one and she had no idea how to use it. I bet she didn't use it 10 times. Because, you know, she just didn't grow up with it like we did. Sam's laughing over here. You don't know life without a microwave, do you?
No, I don't at all. I mean, I use a microwave for everything.
We got that microwave and I use that sucker every day because I was the only one at home. The boys were all gone to college or married or whatever. So it was just me and mom in the mornings. And
yep. The microwave was originally called the Rad Range.
We need to bring that back. That's 100% of a better name than microwave.
Microwave,
oh, microwave kind of scares you a little bit. You're like, what is going on in there? The Rad
Rad Range.
Yeah,
the microwave was invented in 1945 by a self-taught engineer who found a way to use radio waves to heat water. And now it's the main reason why your office break room smells like burned popcorn or whatever it smells like. Sometimes if somebody gets fish and puts it in the microwave, that smells the whole place up too.
Yeah.
It's also Bartender Appreciation Day, so raise a glass to all the bartenders out there.
There you go.
Sam's like, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole.
He's not going anywhere near it. We got Hoosier basketball coming up over the weekend, so let's talk a little bit about that. I know we're waiting on Jamie to call in here and talk some.
I'll send him.
Yeah, tomorrow, Clinton Central boys basketball. We'll get our first look at them. They got their season kicked off earlier this week. I think on Tuesday, and then they have another game tonight. So they'll have their home opener tomorrow against Madison Grant. So it'll be our first opportunity, at least on Hoosierland TV, to take a look at Clinton Central. So we're excited for that one. Should be a good game. And then, of course, inside the huddle tomorrow, we finally got in touch with Frankfort coach Jake Nerney is going to come on, the boys basketball coach. And we might have Matt Crawford, the girls basketball coach from Frankfort, on as well. I know people have been asking about the Frankfort coaches, and so we are trying to get everybody on, and so finally we're able to coordinate schedules to have them on tomorrow, and then we'll talk about several other things. There's quite a bit going on in sports, not just high school sports, and so talk a little bit about the Bud Wright situation. He was resigned from Sheridan, and Rossville's Mickey McGill made the Silver 25th Anniversary Hall of Fame team, but Jamie, I hear you're on the line. Let's talk some sports, right?
Hey, good morning, Sam. Long time, huh?
Absolutely.
You still alive? We were worried about you.
Well, I'm honest with you, Cindy, I think that was you. My dad told me the other day, he's been to several events, and people said, hey, what's happened to your son? Has he, like, disappeared or what? So I just been a real busy schedule. You guys know that. So
we do.
I'm
we understand.
To get my priorities changed around here and get back on the radio.
Well, your first priority is taking care of the public, and we appreciate that as well. So we're willing to work it with you because it might be us one day. You just never know. So let's talk about the resignation of the Sheridan coach.
Yeah, it was something that some people could have said they saw coming with what happened this year. I mean, he was suspended for the Clinton Central game this year because of, I think they called it insubordination. He was placed on administrative leave for one game, and they did a review of the program, and then they put in two associate head coaches. They kind of just appointed those two associate head coaches. One of them was his son, Kevin Wright, who's now the coach at Carmel. He took that job a couple weeks ago. So it was an interesting situation. You just don't think that's going to happen to the all-time winningest coach in Indiana high school football, and a guy that's done so much for that community. It was kind of surprising to me.
Yeah, Jamie, what's your thoughts?
I kind of agree with Sam. It's just very unfortunate the way this is all going to end because, I mean, he's the legendary coach at Sheridan. You know, he's been there 60 years. You know, he was legendary when I played, you know, almost 40 years ago. So just the way this all played out, you know, I feel very bad. I know Coach Bud Wright personally. I mean, he's been a close friend to me over the years. I've seen him at a lot of different events, always seen him. My son and I always went to state finals, and he was always, you know, real supportive. I just hate to see it the way it ends. I just wish they could have negotiated a different end, but times change. You know, there's a reason he won 9 state championships because they did it his way. And sometimes, you know, people come along and they don't want to do it, you know, someone else's way anymore. So it just, you know, it's just very unfortunate it ended like this. I wish they could have negotiated something before the season and said, hey, this is going to be it, you know, no matter what, and move on that way. But, yeah, you know, in a few years from now, on the flip side of this, Sheridan people and the people around the community, you know, things change. And I've seen a lot of legendary coaches and programs around the state. They can't replace them. I mean, you saw you and Bob Knight. I mean, they've been irrelevant for like 20 years until the last couple of years. You know what I mean? It's just sometimes things change, and I got a feeling that could happen at Sheridan just as well.
Yeah, can you imagine being the next coach, the coach after Bud Wright? I mean, 60 years of success, and you have to follow that up. If you don't have success in your first couple of years, it's going to be rough. And people always forget the first coach after a legendary coach like that. And so, yeah, it is going to be, I mean, it's a great opportunity for somebody, but if they don't have success immediately, it's going to be rough.
Yeah, I think just here locally on the high school scene, One of my high school basketball teammates, Kent Cheesen from Clinton Prairie, he graduated college, came back, coached Clinton Prairie, was successful, moved on to Covington, played over there, was really successful. And then Jack Butcher, the legendary coach of Lagodi High School with 800 and some wins, resigns, and he gets the job down there because they want to put in a quality coach, and he's there less than 2 years because he's not Jack Butcher. You know what I mean? It's just, it's really going to be hard to replace Bud Wright. I could be wrong, and I hope for the best for the Sheridan program, but, you know, it's just going to have some rough times over there. Just because we're moving on doesn't mean it's always the right thing.
Do you think they'll actually look at maybe somebody who worked either under Bud or was one of his players or something that might be willing to come back, or do you think they're going to take this program in a totally different direction?
Well, I think it could be a different direction because Sheridan Athletics is changing quickly, and you'll see it tonight. Sheridan girls basketball team is very good. They're starting to get that Westfield effect of people that are, you know, not necessarily living in their community but living very close by. They're playing athletics at Sheridan because they could be going to a 6A school and they're never even going to see the court or the athletic field. So they're starting to get some of those kids in there. And there's you know, athletic teams are changing quickly anyway, so I think you're going to see the effect of Sheridan. You also got to remember Sheridan was 1A football for a long, long time, and with all that, you know, they're in 2A, they're going to be going to 2A and, you know, above as that school corporation goes, so things are definitely going to be changing over there.
Well, I hate to say it, but did anybody celebrate the fact that Bud is retiring because maybe that will take Sheridan in a different direction, and Sheridan's always... Sheridan with Bud Wright attached has always been the nemesis for everybody. I mean, I'm just going to put it out there. It has been. Whether it's a mind game or what, it's just always been the nemesis.
Yeah, I think you're totally right on that mind game. I've seen a lot of Clinton Prairie teams over the years have had really good seasons, but it was the mind game. Hell, you know, on Monday, the parents or neighbors or grandparents or whoever go, oh, you're playing Sheridan Friday, you're going to get killed. That set the mindset in the players earlier in the week, no matter how good you were, that, you know, Sheridan's almighty, and we've seen the fold to him a lot. So I did see one report there. You were talking about celebrating him, that they offered to do the last game of the year, and he refused. So it's just unfortunate. It's come to an end. I think both sides are going to move on. You know, Bud's 80-some years old, but he said in one of those articles I saw there out of the Indianapolis News that he wants to still keep coaching, so who knows where he ends up.
Wow.
Yeah, I saw a couple of rumors that, I mean, he could go be an assistant for his son at Carmel, or there's openings. And tell me what coach wouldn't say, yeah, Bud, you can come be my offensive or defensive coordinator. Sure.
And his son Kevin was one of those guys that was the coaches that that the Sheridan put in place as the season went on. To give a little background on him, you know, he graduated from Sheridan. He coached the Frankfort Hot Dogs at one time, if I believe, and then moved on all the way up to Carmel before to IMG Academy in Florida, which is one of the top, you know, prep schools in the country, and then finished up under Coach Tom Allen at IU before this season, coaching tight ends down there, and then he was available this year and helped coach at Sheridan. So now he's back at Carmel, and that's a quality 6A program. He'll bring them back to the top, you know, again, and it'll be interesting to see what Bud does. I think he goes up to single-A school somewhere and coaches what he loves to do at a small school. That's my guess.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening.
They agree. The dog agrees.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I got two guys outside there like looking at me going, you going to bring me back or what?
No, we understand. Well, what's up for Inside the Huddle? What do we have planned for that tomorrow?
Yeah, a couple of Frankfort coaches, Jake Nerney, the boys basketball coach, will be on, and hopefully we can get Matt Crawford, the girls coach, as well. And then Nicholas Burlingame, the Clinton Central boys basketball coach, as they've kind of started their season with a couple of away games this week, and then we'll have them on Hoosierland TV tomorrow, and then just filling out that last spot. But it should be a fun one, and like I said, we'll talk kind of all the girls basketball, boys basketball that's been going on. We've got a lot of really good teams around here. I was just looking at just early records for some of the girls basketball teams. You talk about Rossville, you talk about Carroll, Sheridan's got a really good program. Lebanon is coming around. We've got some really good girls basketball teams and boys basketball teams, but I was just looking at the girls' records this morning, and we're really lucky around here.
Yeah, I think we're seeing a lot more evenly based. I mean, here we went, what, 3-4 years where Carroll was dominant, and Clinton Central came in, and they were dominating things as well. And now it's kind of an even playing field, don't you think, Jamie?
Oh, yeah, and I think as the years go by here, you're going to see it even up even more in the county. Right now, Rossville, you know, they're what, 5-1, I think, Sam, and
yeah,
playing really well. You know, the Gophers went over there 2 nights before Thanksgiving and was giving it to them in the first quarter, and then they changed their defense up and started playing hard, and then, you know, they just put it to Clinton Prairie. So pretty impressed by the Hornets, you know, 5-1, doing really well. Clinton Central 5-3, you know, that early loss to Fountain Central kind of shocked us a little bit, Sam, and then they turned it around and beat a lot of schools, and of course, you know, got beat by Carroll, but like you said, Carroll's a really good ball program. But the next couple years, you'll see Frankfurt, they're 0-7 right now, but I can tell you right now in junior high, there is some players coming, and that's going to quickly change. Same with Clinton Prairie, there's some more players coming. So the basketball on the girls' side is definitely on the rise. Not that it's faltered that much, I just think it keeps getting better. And then on the boys' side, the Rossville Hornets are 2-0, clock games right there. They're way young, but with their coach Corey Dunn, you know, they'll be ready to go each and every night, and they'll be very competitive. And then, Sam, I know you did the Frankfurt-Clinton Prairie game, but, you know, Clinton Prairie's got a lot of athletes led by Jake McGraw, who might be the best basketball player in this Lafayette, Clinton County area by far.
Yeah, his experience and the way he's just able to get to his spots and get up shots, I was very impressed with. I think 28 points in that season opener against Frankfurt, but it looked like an easy 28. I mean, he got to his spots and was able to hit contested shots like they were nothing. So I'm right there with you. He is one of the top players in the area, and that's going to be a fun one to watch.
I want to talk about – oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the new guy that's there for the Gophers this year, his name's flipping me right now. You might help me out, Sam, but kind of came over this new this year. I think he's going to take a lot of pressure off Jake McGraw when it gets tough, knowing that he has to force something to happen.
You talking about Alex Farley?
Yeah, Farley. Yes, thank you. So that's a different change. Made them a lot quicker, another threat from the outside. They've got a couple other players on that team. You know, they're doing just as well, can hit the three-pointer. They've got a lot of different nights. Anybody could be the leading scorer and score 30 points in a game or 20. And I think that's going to propel them to, you know, the next level. I think they're going to win a lot of games this year. But the thing is, it's been since 1982 they won a sectional. That'll be the thing, and that's the only thing they are looking at this year, to my knowledge, is getting that, you know, off their back and winning another sectional out there at Clinton Prairie, because that's been a long, long time.
I'm curious, Jamie, have you had a chance to go watch any of the girls wrestling yet?
I have not, but I do know, just following the Clinton Prairie Athletics, they have 4 or 5 girls really well. The Looper girl, I think it's Shelby Looper, and she even signed, I want to say, with a college wrestling program this week, Manchester or Trine, I can't remember one. So that's a new program, up and coming. We've highlighted on Inside the Huddle the last couple of years. Of course, had a state champion wrestler from Frankfurt a couple of years ago. A lot of girls, I think there's 5 or 6 girls that are really competitive out there at Clinton Prairie Wrestling. I'm not sure about the other programs, but it's up on the rise.
Well, that's what I wondered, if the other schools had programs yet or not.
Well,
I'm sure they do. I just don't know about them.
Yeah, we talked to Clinton Central last week, and they don't have any girls at the high school level. But their elementary and middle school programs are growing, and they do have girls at that level.
So in a few years, we'll be
exactly
seeing that coming on.
And then Rossville has one, and she's wrestling really well. I've seen her at quite a few different meets win her class, and so she's done really well. Delphi has done a great job really championing that in our area. They had a big, huge tournament to start the year, and they've done really well as well.
All right.
And it's, you know, if we're talking girls, Cindy, another thing you might start letting people know, if you watched the state football finals last weekend, Class A through 6A, I'd say promoted with the Colts girls flag football. They have 25 programs that started last year, and I want to say the Colts want to promote 75 more school districts in the state of Indiana for next season, they're going to give them some money, and I want to say as much as $10,000 per program if you want to start a girls flag football league. So that's something out there for some of these girls around the county or parents or whatever. If your child wanting to do something, there is opportunities out there.
There are. Well, hey, we appreciate you calling in this morning. I know you're busy, so thank you for calling in, and we'll be talking with you soon. Thank you, Jamie.
I missed it. Where's Sam at tonight?
We're tomorrow. We're at Clinton Central in Madison Grant.
Okay. I'll be at watching the Gophers at Sheridan boys-girl doubleheader tonight. So
there you go. That'll be a good one.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon. Also, by the way, you're listening to Party Line on WILO and Boone 1027. I wanted to go through again the children's 12 Days of Christmas winner list for today. And again, we want to thank our sponsors for that: Wilson Farm Market, Wampler Services Incorporated, Skiles Electric, Pepe's Mexican Restaurant, Lanen's Furniture and Mattress, Jimmy John's, Ellis Jewelers, Day and Ginda Funeral Home, and Center Township Trustee Office. Those are all the places that you can get kids registered, whether it's your kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, neighbors, kids, whatever, children ages 3 through 10. And our winners today were Jasmine Pitzer from Frankfort, Sydney Foster from Whitestown, Sativa Lewis from Frankfort, Lawrence Norwick from Frankfort, Ivan Martinez, Frankfort, Kyler Cox from Frankfort, Bryden Bell from Frankfort, Atlas Curtin from Frankfort, and Rose Chapel from Kokomo. So those are our winners today in the Children's 12 Days of Christmas. So again, we thank all of our sponsors for helping us bring this program to the community and the children in our community. Without them, we couldn't do this. And boy, what a great thing for a lot of kids in our community to get so many little gifts and things. And then, of course, we will end it up with bicycles. And the bicycles are ready to be given away soon.
We, you know, we've been sitting here talking sports. We still got just a couple of minutes before we get to the halfway mark. What about college? I know you are an avid college sports watcher.
We should ask Jamie what he thought about Purdue's team.
Well, I did, but I didn't want. I did not want to add pain to anguish. You know, I didn't want to make it worse than what it already is, because we know that's what he's been doing, is tailgating for with Purdue and
that and working. Yeah, yes, and I don't want to make it seem like he's not working as well. But
he's been working hard. He's been pulling. He's been covering, helping cover shifts and all kinds of stuff. But he's a big wig over at Lafayette Fire, so we do appreciate everything that he does. But Sammy, what do you think?
Yeah, well, Purdue fired their head coach. I mean, that was kind of expected with the season that they had. So it'll be interesting to see who
I'm surprised they waited so long. I mean, yeah. I'm sorry. I watched that IU. I couldn't even make it through the first quarter of the IU-Purdue game. I couldn't.
Why, though?
I just
had to shut it off. It's just like what you were saying with Coach Bud, right? Because, you know, he was there for so long, and Tiller was there at Purdue for so long. Why does it take him so long to finally get another coach that works for each system? Because now how many has Purdue gone through since Tiller's been gone? You know, it seems like we just can't find a fit that works. And so I'm worried that you guys might be right that that will be happening.
It just killed me. I mean, I honest to God, and nothing against Purdue, I went to Purdue. But I sit there watching that game with IU, and it was like watching a college team take on a junior high team. That's how bad it was. And I thought, how can you take that quality of player and it be that bad?
Yeah, I think
Sam feels sorry for us.
Well, I'm a Notre Dame fan. So
am I. So, this is irrelevant to an extent, but it was still fun to watch. To an extent.
I think when you have a successful program for a long time and then the coach leaves, all the assistant coaches are just going to use that success to bolster themselves up to a job upgrade somewhere else.
Right.
So then you kind of have 3 or 4 years to try to build that program back up. And if you don't get the right coach that first time, then it resets that every single time. And so they've just not been able to keep a consistently successful head coach. And when I say successful head coach, I don't mean you have to win 10 games a season. I mean you have to recruit well. You have to use the transfer portal. You have to, you know, really build the program up. And when you keep firing head coaches, it's impossible to do that, because all the guys that this guy recruited, well, I don't want to play for a new coach now. I'm going to transfer.
Yeah.
And so,
and we're not talking just players. We're talking the assistants and, and all the, you know, all the down-the-line coaches, because a new head coach is going to bring in. I mean, look at IU.
Look how,
look how many not only players, but he also brought in coaches as well. So, you know.
Inside the Huddle tomorrow morning at 9 right here on WILO. All right. We've got Jordan Brewer waiting in the wings. You're listening to Party Line on WILO and Boone 1027. We'll be back.